Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Could be an interesting day in the House Intelligence Committee tomorrow. Steve Bannon is scheduled to give testimony in the Russia investigation. In Michael Wolff's new book, Bannon is quoted saying several things that suggest the investigation could end badly for the president, about collusion with the Russians and about money laundering. He even used the word treasonous, as has been widely discussed. Bannon has hired a lawyer for tomorrow's testimony named Bill Burke, who also represents Reince Priebus and White House counsel Don McGahn. Let's talk about what might come of this testimony at this weird time after Bannon just resigned under pressure from Breitbart News because of the ways he disparaged the president in the book. With me for this is Daily Beast, White House correspondent Lachlan Markey. Lachlan, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Why is Bannon testifying in the Russia investigation, and why before this particular committee?
Well, it's been a long time coming. Obviously, he was deeply involved in the latter stages of the campaign, which is what a lot of this investigation, both from the special counsel's office and the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, have been looking at. So we've kind of been wondering for months if and when this is going to happen. And it seems like the timing, you know, it was mostly coincidental, as far as we can tell, that this took place right as Bannon was ousted, of course, from his perch at Breitbart News, had a major falling out with President Trump. So the timing really could not have been worse for the White House on this. They obviously had a great relationship with Bannon for months, and all of a sudden this big falling out happens, and it just so happens to be a week before this House Intelligence Committee interview is set to happen. So, you know, Steve Bannon says he's going to, in the words of sources of ours, fully cooperate with the probe. And that's probably not what the White House wanted to hear.
Now, this committee, among those investigating Russia and the campaign, is known to be very polarized. The Republican chairman, Devin Nunes, has recused himself because of things he did that make him seem like too much of a presidential ally rather than an investigator. But Nunes has been active on the issue anyway in certain ways. The ranking Democrat, Adam Schiff, is always on television with aggressive interpretations of whatever is known. What's the environment that Bannon will be testifying in?
You're right that it's very polarized, and actually Chairman Nunes is back from his recusal now that he was found to not have leaked classified information as part of his effort to demonstrate the quote-unquote unmasking of Trump campaign officials. It's also a very leaky committee, and very often when a major interview like this happens, you see excerpts. You know, even if someone on the committee doesn't, you know, say leak a full transcript like Senator Dianne Feinstein did last week, you will see excerpts end up in the media because of the lingering tensions between Democrats and Republicans on the committee, and just the fact that House offices tend to be less disciplined in that respect than their Senate counterparts, and certainly than the special counsel's office. I would imagine you will see probably selective excerpts of this interview leaked to try to demonstrate one way or the other that, you know, there was a smoking gun here, or that the Trump campaign was exonerated. And then that sets off a whole nother round of recriminations by folks on the committee alleging that their counterparts on the other side of the aisle are attempting to politicize it. So it's going to be a crazy week of narratives and meta-narratives coming out of this committee.
Some of these sessions with witnesses like Jim Comey earlier in the year, whether or not that was explicitly Russia related, but some of these are done publicly and televised. Some of them are done privately, like this is going to be tomorrow. Why? How do they decide?
Well, a big factor in it is whether there will be any sort of classified information or information, you know, non-public information pertaining to an ongoing investigation that will be asked about or entered into exhibits or something along those lines. So, you know, we don't know exactly what their line of inquiry will be with Bannon tomorrow. I would imagine it will have to do with, in particular, Cambridge Analytica, the data firm that was so instrumental in the Trump campaign win, and that we, the Daily Beast, reported a couple months ago, my colleague Betsy Woodruff, that they had been in touch with WikiLeaks during the campaign right around the time that Democratic emails were hacked. Steve Bannon was a high-level executive at Cambridge Analytica by way of his now estranged funders, Robert and Rebecca Mercer. So I would imagine that would be a major line of inquiry. And then just more generally, what the Trump campaign strategy was from the summer of 2016 through Election Day. Steve Bannon was obviously, you know, one of the major strategists plotting that out. So did they, you know, were they aware of Russian attempts to interfere in the election? Did they encourage it in any way? Was there any material support given? Those will be the lines of inquiry, and that that has the potential to touch on some very sensitive information that maybe should not be in public view.
Daily Beast White House correspondent Lachlan Markey with us, previewing, as he has done in the Daily Beast, the scheduled testimony tomorrow by Steve Bannon before the House Intelligence Committee with its Russia investigation. Listeners, if you have any calls for Lachlan on that, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let me go through some of the Bannon quotes in the Michael Wolff book and get your take on how they might come up before the committee in the context of the Russia investigation. About the meeting in June of 2016 between Jared Kushner, Don Jr., Paul Manafort, and some Russians offering dirt on Hillary Clinton, Bannon was quoted saying, even if you thought that this was not treasonous or unpatriotic or bad SH, and I happen to think it's all of that, you should have called the FBI immediately. Now, that's his opinion, and the treasonous remark has really broken out. Does it suggest any facts that they could bring out of him?
I would imagine they're going to ask him point blank. You know, what about this meeting did you consider so serious? You know, did you see apparent connections to the Russian government? Things along those lines. But I would imagine what you will see Bannon try to do, and you've sort of seen this in the fallout after that quote has been released. You know, what really hit a nerve for the president and those around him was Bannon targeting Donald Trump Jr. And when you go after the Trump family, that's a really surefire way to get the president extremely upset with you. And what Steve has done in the last week or so is essentially say, well, I wasn't talking about Don Jr. so much as I was talking about Paul Manafort. Now, of course, Paul Manafort has already been indicted by the special counsel. The White House for months has attempted to distance themselves from him and say he had a minor role in the campaign, despite him being chairman of the campaign. So if I had to guess, I would say Steve is going to fully throw Manafort under the bus here and say this was his idea. When I made those comments, I had Paul Manafort in mind because this break has already occurred and the special counsel has already officially gone after Manafort. So it's an easy target and a way to shift attention away from the president's continued inner circle and onto essentially a scapegoat.
Although about trying to shift the attention away from the president, also provocative in the book, was Bannon telling Wolf about that June meeting, quote, the chance that Don Jr. did not walk these Jumos up to his father's office on the 26th floor is zero, because that meeting was in Trump Tower. So first of all, what's a Jumo?
You know, I actually don't know, and I've thrown it around a lot recently. It's just become part of my lexicon, and I'm not even really sure what it means.
I wonder if he was trying to say Gemo, like it was a little gem. But listeners, you can help us out with this, too. Maybe Lachlan and I are not up on this little bit of the latest street slang. Who says Jumo and in what context? Who knows? Have you ever used that word? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. But what are the implications? And that was speculation. The chance
sure.
that Don Jr. did not walk these Jumos up to his father's office on the 26th floor is zero. By the way, for those of you wondering, what is he saying? It's J-U-M-O, J-U-M-O. But what are the implications if Don Jr. did share them with his father?
Well, certainly that would be a massive revelation. And given what we know about the two Russians in that meeting, Natalia Veselnitskaya and Rinat Akhmetshin, and their connections to Russian government officials and Russian security services, that would be potentially the biggest development of the investigation so far. But as you know, it's purely speculative. I think if that had happened and Steve had known about it, obviously he would have mentioned it. So that will be a line of inquiry at the interview. Is there any indication that that happened? Do you have any evidence and so on? But I don't think that Bannon is in a position right now where he wants to be further alienating the president. So I think even if there were information that he had that didn't make it into the book, I doubt he would be sharing it with investigators tomorrow. I think the potential fallout is more political than it is legal. It's just another bit of information, another bit of testimony, so to speak, from the president's inner campaign circle that kind of goes to this collusion narrative. But in terms of actual evidence and something that investigators can point to in a concrete way to support a case, I don't think there's much there.
And maybe even bigger than whatever Bannon might say about the June meeting in Trump Tower with the Russians is when Bannon said to Wolf, "You realize where this is going. This is all about money laundering. Mueller chose prosecutor Andrew Weissman for his team first, and he is a money laundering guy. Their path to effing Trump goes right through Paul Manafort, Don Jr., and Jared Kushner. It's as plain as a hair on your face. It goes through Deutsche Bank and all the Kushner SH. The Kushner SH is greasy. They're going to go right through that. They're going to roll those two guys up and say, play me or trade me." Wow, that's all a quote or various quotes strung together. Can you elaborate on what Bannon's talking about there? First of all, what's the Kushner SH?
Well, New York real estate is a dirty business. Anyone who's, my father grew up in, I grew up with my father doing New York real estate. And I remember going to him and saying, do they have something to worry about here? He said, you don't do business in that town without greasing a few palms and some financial shenanigans here and there. Now, whether there was anything criminal or anything provable is, of course, a different question. But when you're examining that industry in the granular detail that that the special counsel is, it's almost hard not to stumble on something at least noteworthy or worth investigating, if not outright illegal. So we saw with Paul Manafort and Rick Gates, Robert Mueller taking the financial crime approach, and money laundering was among the charges that that they were indicted on, or charges having to do with money laundering activity. Steve was entirely right there that it the scope of the investigation has broadened well beyond Russian collusion or crimes having directly to do with that. So I think he's entirely correct that that Jared Kushner in particular, I think he is getting a little nervous, and he may not even know if he's racking his brain right now thinking, what have I done in my career in New York real estate that could come back to bite me? I can't imagine that's a fun position to be in. And I think Steve is totally correct that he should be a little nervous about what the special counsel is looking into there.
And what's the Deutsche Bank connection? This is coming up more and more, speculation that if they get Trump on something, it's going to have to do with money laundering of somehow Russian-related money through Deutsche Bank. What can you tell us about that?
Well, right now, it's essentially massive financial flows between Deutsche Bank and the Trump Organization that that need to be looked into on the special counsel's part. Deutsche Bank was the top financier of Trump Organization projects for the last 10 years or so. So anything having to do with the president's or his family's finances is inevitably involving an examination of Deutsche Bank records. Obviously, we don't have any specific evidence that's been presented to us by the special counsel yet on that front. But that certainly goes right back to that Steve Bannon quote. That's if you're looking for financial crimes, that is the place where you would be looking. So, it seems almost self-evident that that is the road that Robert Mueller is going down.
By the way, we do not have anything definitive on Jumo. However, some of our Jersey sources are giving us a similar word, jamoke, J-A-M-O-K-E. Etymology, according to the Urban Dictionary, a clumsy loser who is incapable of doing normal human tasks. I thought that was a dotard. Another site says, appearing at the end of the 19th century as a blend of Java, plus mocha. By the 1920s, it became slang for someone who lacked mental abilities beyond that of a cup of coffee, probably influenced by moke. In the 1960s, it also began to be used as slang for male genitalia. And one of my Jersey sources say that they heard this growing up in Jersey sometimes applied to certain residents of sometimes a certain Southern European heritage who live in Jersey a lot as a ethnic slur in that respect. So I don't know if that's related to Jumo at all, but several people wanted to chime in on Jamoke. Saif in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, my question is, since Steve Bannon been with Donald Trump for so long time and he's been involved since the election, why doesn't Robert Mueller investigate or question Steve Bannon?
Good question. The House Intelligence Committee is going to interview Bannon tomorrow. Do you have any reason to believe that Robert Mueller either will or won't?
It's certainly a possibility. The fact that he hasn't, and as far as we know at this point, doesn't have definitive plans to, actually supports the speculation that he is focusing much more on the financial crimes aspect of it, because obviously that's something that Steve Bannon would have less of, would not have as much insight into, given he was on the political side of the Trump world and came on board late in the game in terms of the president's 20 plus year long business career. So he may end up bringing him in for an interview. But that certainly suggests the direction that he's going with his investigation is less focused on the political activities of the president and his team and more focused on their financial activities.
In the Wolf book, Bannon also predicted that White House Communications Director Hope Hicks could be in trouble with Russia investigators, saying she doesn't even know it. Could Hicks be called on to recount the president? Do I have the right title for her? I'm not sure she's communications director.
That's correct.
That is correct. That she could be called on to recount the president's reactions during some pivotal moments in the investigation, like when Comey was fired, whether she holds evidence of obstruction of justice on the part of the president in that respect. Hope Hicks has been close to Donald Trump for a long time.
Yes, and she is one of his most trusted and loyal aides. We reported back in, September, that she had actually hired an attorney anticipating just that sort of interview. I don't know that it's been reported that that interview actually took place, but she was definitely on the list of people he wanted to speak to. If he hasn't yet, I think that suggests that, we still have another few rounds of interviews to take place, but I don't know how much he would get out of her, because, as I said, she is she's fiercely loyal to her boss, and that is why the president put so much trust in her and has kept her with him at his side through business and politics and to this day. So I just don't know how fruitful of a line of inquiry that would be.
And also in Fire and Fury, and really there's so much more in there when you comb through the book for Bannon quotes that could be relevant to the investigation of Donald Trump and his associates, so much more there than has really made the headlines and broken out as cable TV fare. Bannon was also quoted as saying that longtime Trump attorney Mark Kasowitz, quote, took care of 100 women during the presidential election. Bannon reportedly said, look, Kasowitz has known Trump for 25 years. Kasowitz has gotten out of all kinds of jams. Kasowitz on the campaign. What did we have? 100 women. Kasowitz took care of them, of all of them. That's in the book. And then on Friday, as I'm sure you know, the Wall Street Journal reported that another lawyer for the president, Michael Cohen, gave a former adult film star $130,000 right before the 2016 election in exchange for her silence about an alleged 2006 sexual encounter with Trump, the Journal said, and this is from the Wall Street Journal. Does the Bannon quote from Fire and Fury take on new meaning in light of that reporting?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think that this journal story, is one of these stories that would be almost legacy defining for any other president and would be an absolute scandal that would dominate headlines for weeks. And it's just kind of been, well, I don't want to say a blip on the radar, but one of many stories that's being talked about simultaneously. So that's just sort of a nice illustration of where the news cycles are at these days. But it is, you know, obviously the woman at issue, Stormy Daniels is her screen name, continues to deny that that anything took place. But then again, if the journal's reporting is true, she signed a non-disclosure agreement. So that is what she would have to say. You know, there's been murmurs of this for months. The Daily Beast was actually chasing this story back in October 2016. I expect that there will be more to come out on this story and perhaps even similar stories. And certainly Steve Bannon's quote regarding Mark Kasowitz, you know, that's we'll be looking into that in particular, the role that Kasowitz and his law firm may have played in any similar deals in the past.
And more people weighing in on the word JUMO. One cites an Urban Dictionary definition that it's a anti-Jewish slang, JUMO for Jewish mofo, or, you know, Jewish MF, if you prefer. Also, people are saying junior Moscow officer, which would make more sense in the context of that meeting with the Russians. And yeah, that's pretty funny. Junior Moscow officer. Maybe that was Don Jr. in what Steve Bannon was trying to say there. We're almost out of time. One other thing that you broke was the story that Bannon hired attorney Bill Burke for this testimony. And I think you suggested that it's weird that Burke also represents Reince Priebus and White House counsel Don McGahn. Why is that hiring significant?
Well, generally, you know, it's not unheard of, but generally prosecutors are not big fans of an attorney representing multiple clients subject to the same inquiry. So, you know, it does sort of suggest that they want a little continuity here and a little consistency in what investigators are being told. But then again, you know, this has been a pretty public break with Steve Bannon. So, between Steve Bannon and President Trump. So, you know, I don't know that there's any coordination going on behind the scenes. It certainly was noteworthy, and Bill Burke is a very prominent white-collar criminal defense lawyer. I think it was very noteworthy when Reince Priebus brought him on. It's noteworthy that Steve Bannon has brought him on. He clearly knows what he's doing. But I guess the question, and, you know, it would probably be up to a lawyer to answer under what circumstances this definitively might happen, but questions of conflicts of interest between clients, I think, is a relevant one here. If someone's offered a deal to cooperate or something along those lines, the prospect of them having to testify in opposition to another one of these same attorney's clients is I think a very real possibility and something that would place that attorney in a difficult ethical position. Mm-hmm. You know, that's total speculation to say that might happen, but you know, when you're representing such high-profile people who might be subject to inquiry on the same case, I think that's always a possibility.
All right. It could be a very interesting day in the House Intelligence Committee tomorrow when Steve Bannon is scheduled to testify in the Russia investigation, at least their version of the Russia investigation. We thank Daily Beast White House correspondent Lachlan Markey for filling us in on so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.